Mr. John, are you okay?
All right, Ecclesiastes 7. Verse something or other. When we were talking the other day, I forgot to talk about something about... There's this great statement in the Talmud of how far is heaven from hell? You know, you've heard me talk about it, so it's which way you're turning. But there's this whole section on it. And the distance between heaven and hell is the distance between the seventh day and the eighth day of the Feast of Tabernacles. So, what's the difference? The distance between the seventh day and the beginning of the eighth day is a micron, or it's infinite. The essence of the eighth day of the Feast of Tabernacles, you remember the last thing that's read. And when the scriptures talk about you're reading it, it doesn't just mean you've read it. It means that you've shema'd it. You've heard with total understanding. And the last book that's read before the marriage supper of the Lamb is this, the book of Ecclesiastes. And so how long does it take you to forget that vanity of vanity, all is vanity? Or how long does it take you to forget, well, it's the distance between the seventh and the eighth day of the Feast of Tabernacles. How far is that? Well, either infinite, or it's a breath away, or the blink of an eye away. And so, because you can't be in a state of unforgiveness. You can't be in a state of judging. You can't be in a state of thinking something is wrong and be in the New Jerusalem. You know, you can't be on the mercy seat. Something that John and I talked about last night, it made it perfectly clear to me that we don't have a whole lot of options. We are either on the mercy seat or the judgment seat. There isn't a third seat. And it's really big. And on the mercy seat, all things are perfect. You've been perfected by one offering. Everything is exactly as it should be. You've got no wants, no needs. The Lord is your shepherd. You shall not want. Everything is perfect. On the judgment seat, so the difference between heaven and hell is the difference is the distance between eating the fruit of the tree of good and knowledge, of the fruit of the tree. I can't even say it. The fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, or it's having spewed it out. There are only two places: the mercy seat, the judgment seat. There are only two remaining in the universe: the bride and the whore. The vessel of wrath, the vessel of mercy. And it's not... If you're on the judgment seat, what you have to have concluded on the judgment seat is that... And again, all of the stories and all of the parables and all of the types in the scriptures reveal this in an infinite number of ways. Except the kernel of wheat fall into the ground and die, except the seed, is what it says, fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. You're either in him or you're not in him. Everything is digital. We want everything to be analog. We want it to have
something. About what you're saying is making me think about that expression, I was blind and now I see. The idea that what can be known of God can be seen in the things that he's made. the way your body functions. I mean, everything.
But if you're blind, you don't see that.
My experience is when a scripture comes alive, after usually in my case being beaten over the head and about the body with branches and things, when that scripture comes alive, it's everywhere. It's in all things. It's to me, that, I mean, that's the essence of truth, is the fact that it's visible everywhere. It was always there. It was all, I was swimming in it and didn't know it. And it's always, oh my God, how did I not know that? How did I not see that? And it happens over and over again. Because it is, it, for me, it's one little piece at a time.
But it's, but the one little piece at a time gives you the wrong, it gives the wrong view.
Wait a minute, I didn't say that right. It's not one little piece at a time. It's the mountaintop experience fades and I go back down into everyday life. And then there's another peak experience and then I go back down. That's what I mean. It's when it happens, it's not one little piece.
It's it's the essence. It's what double-minded means. It's being. It's. You can't. It's the difference between manna. Sorry, I'm not. You can't serve two masters. You can't serve God and Mammon. And that's also digital. I mean, you can't, well, I used to be better, or I'm doing it less now than I am. It's either I'm serving Mammon or I'm serving God at any given moment. And so, you to redeem the time, for the days are evil. It has to have that as its predicate.
Same there. This too is revenging the disobedience. Mind is always trying to take you away from the mercy seat and put you in the judgment seat, so you can exercise your opinions and your righteousness. You don't guard that mercy seat jealously. You'll
well
to agree with your mind and go on the trip.
Yeah, again, this is this thing with our language. Our language has way too many verb tenses. It has way too many descriptive adjectives. It has way too many adverbs. And so, because all of our language, especially English, as I've talked to you about, it's the language of the merchants. It's the language of Canaan. It's the language of possession. But it's more than that. It's the language of time and aspects of time. And so when we even describe these things, that's why it seems like sometime I come down on the airy guys for a trivial little... But it's not trivial. And it's important that we understand that it's either or, it's not progress. The only thing that we make progress in is seeing more and more and more of emptiness or futility and vanity. But that's not any progress to be desired. That's like seeing more and it's like, oh my God, there's my dung there and there's my dung there. And but if we think of it as progress, then we will again be seduced. And again, we'll think that there's something special. Or Again, all we are doing is being, you know, we've talked, said lately, you know, in the we are exhorted to look at our bodies to see what the mystery of God is. Shall the eye say to the ear, I have no need of thee, or the ear say to the hand? Well, the same is true spiritually. And you know, we may be no more important than a hair follicle on the body of Christ, but we have to be that hair follicle. And we don't say that somebody else is not because they don't say the same thing. Do you understand? I mean, this is the essence of what we're about. But it's of course the essence of why we get so much shit too.
We don't jump off the mercy seat to judge somebody else's
position. All right, let's go to Ecclesiastes 7. We studied last time, verse 17. Be not overmuch wicked, neither be thou foolish. Well, and we have to start 16 and 17 have to go together. Be not righteous overmuch, neither make thyself overwise. Why shouldest thou destroy thyself? Be not overmuch wicked, neither be thou foolish. Why shouldest thou die before thy time? And so we don't have to go through all those again, do we? You can listen to the tape. It is good that thou shouldest take hold of this. Yea, also from this withdraw not thine hand, for he that feareth God shall come forth of them all. Now, take hold of what? Take hold of whatever has been said before here. What I believe, not just this scripture, but 1,000 others are saying, is take everything to the limit. Expand the pegs of your tent to the edge of the very essence of time and space and any limitation that you can conceive of. Because we know that He is truth. And that what He is cannot vary or change with time. He is the truth. And so it doesn't mean that we'll ever see Him correctly, but it means that we have more and more and more and more opportunity to see the not Him, and therefore see and are able to repent, not with any effort. If it takes effort to repent, it's not repentance. Again, repentance is not, oh, this penance and oh, I deserve to do it, blah, blah. It's way beyond that. Repentance is leaving all of you behind so that you never again are the subject of your sentence.
Christianity of unlimited freedom as opposed to becoming a believer and narrowing your life down to don't so that you can be safe in some little shell and be called a Christian. One takes risk and the other just become a coward.
Something's going on. I'm going to stop.
Thinking about Esau, he thought to care for him.
Are you here? Talk to me. You know, talk about our conversation last night, or there's something
from from me?
Yeah. It's not, I'm not saying it's bad or good or indifferent. I'm just saying there's something.
Well, there is, I guess. Yep. Thinking about what you said this morning, thinking about what we said yesterday, it's a hard thing to do. I don't know why you did that.
Okay, and that's, maybe it'll help if we share what you saw last. That's what I'm saying. Maybe there's something that needs to come out. I don't know what it is. Okay, can I say, do you want me to talk about it, or do you want you to talk about it?
You can go right ahead.
No, I'd rather you do it. What did you see when you came down and we talked?
What did I see?
All right, about the difference between the judgment seat and the mercy seat. You remember you were saying that you had some feeling, something?
Yeah, our existence on this stupid article, but it keeps coming back to that, I guess. When the lady was here to write the article, I heard here in the lair always speaking to people, I don't know whether it was lunch or when it was, about, as you said, she's been interviewing me for 25 hours. I knew that was the case. Maybe I didn't realize what was going on. You had said it before, but it suddenly struck me, and I started to get these feelings that you're talking about. As I related back to her, I answered the phone a couple of times when she called for appointments, and I started to be uncomfortable and unsettled with her. And the next morning, I went to you and said what I said to you, which was,
something isn't right.
I mean, something's not right here. These right. People are not our friends.
And I agreed with you.
Well, yeah, I agree with you. So yesterday, after big group, help me here, because I'm not exactly
well,
sure.
The whole point is that you were saying that you felt there was something that you felt
something
that wasn't right in terms of how. Whatever. It was. Well, the issue isn't important.
I still have open items. I said in the meeting yesterday that I was settling, but I wasn't settled, and that still is the case.
Right. Well, my point is that you had some feeling about something, and my response to you was, how many hundreds, thousands of times have you seen me do what I just did? I have no idea what's going on, but something isn't right. And so you stop everything until... And that's what it means. That's what we must do.
Well, you mentioned that yesterday, and I hadn't thought of it. And I told you, I agree with you, and I would do that. I'm teased here for keeping to myself or not spewing or whatever it is that...
Just saying what's there.
All that stuff. You know.
Because here's the reason that it's so important, and this isn't any condemnation of you, because it's what we all do. When there is a sense of something... We wait until we think that we have it in such a way that it is, and we know what it is, and that we can put words to it. We are called to be, as a body. One, if there's a cell in the body that stopped and thought about what it should do next, or even did anything in which, it, then that's called cancer. And so we are called not to ever be right. We are called just to be a fully express whatever it is that we are. And that's going to cause fire and boom, bomb, buggy, bomb. And it's not socially acceptable. And it's against the template that all of us have in our minds. And it's not, nobody's right, that's not what this is about. It's not about being right. It's about you being fully you. Because you've been bought with a price. And so you no longer have to be in the place where you're over here and you have a feeling that something is happening or whatever, or as Harry used to say in his younger years, I've been noticing this the last 3 months. You know, well, it shouldn't be I've been noticing it the last 3 seconds, because the moment that something is going on, it needs to be expressed, not in some righteousness. It's just an expression of, this is what I'm feeling, or this is what, am I communicating?
I think I've heard the minion described this morning for the first time as 10 men on the mercy seat. Like, that's where life happens.
And in my Father's, the reason Christ said, in my Father's house are many mansions, that the word mansions means these 10 to 20 places of abiding. They don't look alike, they don't act alike, but they all have the one common denominator. And so, but in order for that to be a minion, then there has to be, each person of that has to have no weight. And so they've expressed whatever is there.
What I think is really funny, existentially funny, is what you just said is really the only thing you need to know, because knowing that,
you're free.
Christ becomes mad. I mean, it's obvious. It's like artesian water. Stick a hole in the ground anywhere and the water comes up. That's all you really need to know. And it is the exact diametrical polar opposite of mind control, behavior control, culting behavior.
Well, but it's the opposite. It's the opposite of every person's mind.
It's also the scariest thing in the world sometimes.
Well, that's why it must be of faith.
But it's.
Well, I know, but
it's just, it's funny. I think it's funny.
But it's extremely. This is why this is how. Otherwise, this false religion is going on in you. Again, remember, the predicate of this is each of us. You are the temple of the living God. And if you return to the judgment seat, and you do because, well, I can't say this now because I'm waiting, or I don't know what it means yet, or I've got this feeling about that, then you've gone from the mercy seat to the judgment seat. The mercy seat, the expression on the mercy seat is free-flowing. It's whatever is there. It's without rancor or bile or any. I mean, it's just what is. It's as natural as breathing. And that's the only thing, ever since I've met any of you, that I've wanted any of you to do.
Yeah, this is all about pride, you know, because if I wait to say what I'm thinking, I'm waiting so that I can get the words organized and make myself look pretty decent before I speak. I don't want to be ashamed of myself.
It's kind of like being in an eighth grade dance with all the girls on one side and all the boys on the other side. And you never do ask anybody to dance because, geez, I might be embarrassed.
Yeah.
A scene I've seen recently, a husband and a wife who were contemplating divorce, separation. She asked him, you know, was there a point when you knew you were pulling away? And he said, one night I had a bad dream, and I didn't wake you up to tell you about it. And that was the start of the separation.
That's perfect. But, and that's why, again, the reason for marriage isn't so that you can be a happy little family, and so you can raise a bunch more atoms. The reason for marriage is to reveal what he just said to the rest of us. But we make it the opposite. We think that we've got to be a good something because we are then revealing Christ and the mystery. No, the mystery is being revealed in whatever, good, bad, indifferent. It's being revealed in that relationship if it's free and open. Because that's what, above all things, my brethren, I would that you prophesy. That doesn't mean tell a future. It just means you just be. But we want to wait, and we take all these little, you know, I know, I'm not dumb, I know that I'm an idiot, and I know that I embarrass people, and I explode, and say stupid things, and certainly I don't have any of the social graces, and if I were on the other side listening, I would say, holy, the language, my God, the language. And I'm not just trying to justify anything, I'm just saying, I cannot. I can't censor myself, because if I censor anything, then to me that's like I'm lost. I don't know how to explain that. It's the fear of God. I can't. I've been bought with a price. I'm not my own. And that's what there's no part of you that you own, that you have to feel that there's any other need other than to be. But you have to be fully. Yeah, you know, I'm not saying it's a function of faith, of salvation, or anything like that. I'm saying that's what we've been called to be. You know, I hate to keep bugging people about speaking, but I can't do anything else.
I'm thinking how the motivation that, you know, where you come from is always the same. It's to draw out Christ in whoever you're engaged with, and with me you behave differently than with Kevin or John. You know, you're a little more circumspect with them, and you treat them a little different. You're a little more gentle.
It's not fair.
It ain't fair. With Terry and I, you kind of crank up, but the objective is the same. It's to draw out.
I don't have an objective. That's that.
Well, I'm telling you do so.
If I had an objective, then I couldn't.
I just told you.
Well, I know you did, but my point is that...
No, I'm not saying you have an agenda. I'm just saying that's how it operates. And it's by God's the governor. Some people need different things than others.
For some reason, I am just overwhelmingly sad right now because I can't get this across to anybody. It's like, to me, it's so simple. It's so that I can't have a sensation even without expressing it or being it. And I'm not saying anything is right about what I'm doing, but
situation, the room is filled with death until somebody takes a chance, until somebody takes the chance of making a fool out of themselves. It's filled with death. I felt it over and over in meetings, and you walk into a room and there's just death. You've got 20 separate individuals sitting there protecting themselves. Somebody has to break the code of silence. And we're called upon to be that somebody. That's the act of faith. That's the courage. That's, without that, you got 20 separate individuals that sit there uncomfortable for 45 minutes and then get up and go their separate ways. And, you know, it's fallen on you most times to be the idiot that has to be impolite and take a chance of being a fool. But the result is life.
I guess there's got to be a place that happens when the whole being is so sensitized so that it, you know, being becomes more important than your next breath. So there's never again this trying to do something, you know, or waiting for something, or it's just you're a full expression, and none of the outcome is your business. None of, you know, every time I open my mouth, I risk that everybody will leave. I mean, and that's what each of us has to do. It's the risk of faith. It's when you become, you reached a position where anything other than faith is so odious to you that you feel dead. And then a weird thing happens. I mean, it goes from this, as in my case right now, overwhelming sadness to joy in an instant. You don't even remember the sadness, but it's not trying to be, and that's why it's like. In my view, there's people that are like one, you know, a half a step away from faith, and they're still just one half a step backward, still trying to measure and judge, and it's fine, and that's okay. It's the same as a little kid trying to learn how to walk, and when you're crawling, and then it doesn't make you not saved, but I have to express my frustration in hoping and praying that this position of just simply being and being totally whatever it is, not giving. I mean, it's.
It's like Paul saying, "I judge not my own self." It's, you stop doing that.
Anybody else?
The article talked about high place identities a little bit, which is something I guess I wouldn't hear when that was kind of a focus.
That's 20 years ago.
It's Bloom's fault.
Yeah,
I was thinking, my high place identity is Mr. Invisible. Because I get to judge everybody and not be judged by anybody.
Yeah, one of the things we did is, you know, is everybody in the room sat down and asked that they be totally honest and make a list of what they thought, what they really thought about everybody else in the room. And it was mind blowing. But it was the most freeing thing that ever happened to us.
Yeah, and it was basically and so. Say those things you thought people would throw stuff at you.
Yeah.
But people care never less what you think.
And plus the fact it's these are the little this is why these templates that we've created, and we create the templates second by second as we live, unless there's instant repentance, and then these templates then become just so that everything about you is measured. God, just be free. The templates were fine. They served their purpose. That's what I think about Harry, and that's what I think about Gary. And it doesn't matter what I think. What my mind says is beyond meaningful. Beyond meaninglessness.
Your command of the English language is mesmerizing.
Shut up.
Blissfully unaware.
Just shut up. Anyway.
And he makes up words.
But it's now is the time, if there ever was a time. If you think there's anything to this, if you don't think that what I'm saying is right, then please, please, I beg of you, tell me.
Okay. My understanding of what you're talking about, I've always seen that as venting your feelings.
Where did that, show me that in the scriptures.
It's just something that somebody told me or whatever that it was in there. But I've always thought that venting your feelings was a bad thing.
But if you're not venting, then you're suppressing your feeling. Then, but it's still operating. In other words, when Jesus said, if you thought about screwing a woman, you've done it.
Right.
Okay. If you've made all these judgments about people, that's how you've done it. Whatever the judgment is. So that's how you're going to respond to them. And there won't be love because it's measured response because you expect they'll get this back. Or if you do this, then this will happen. So everything about you becomes even more measured than it already is. And you're tiptoeing through life just trying to be, whether it's invisible or, you know, I know what I'm doing. I'm going to try not to be invisible for now. I'll just be obnoxious. You know, it's whatever it is. It's trying to be. Oh, it's, how many other thousand of those little rules do you have in your... Oh, you're supposed to be quiet in church. Well, that's the last thing place you're supposed to be quiet in. Oh, you've got to do your best and put on your Sunday best to go to church. You should have been on your Saturday night worst. What do you think, you're kidding God? But the whole idea of, yeah, that's exactly, read Matthew 23 and 24 if you want to see what Jesus thinks about this. But
whited sepulchers.
Huh?
Is that whited sepulchers?
Yeah. You're clean, you may clean the outside, but inside you're full of dead men's bones. Well, it's the dead men that you've murdered by your separation from them because of the... You know, this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication. Be fed up with it. Well, what I'm asking you to do is be fed up with anything other than being. The instant, the slightest attempt at trying to be should become an anathema. Oh, I'm just trying to be good, or I'm just trying to do it right. Well, then go somewhere else. It's because you've not only got the rules, the law here, you've got 10,000 other little rules of behavior that we've all adopted. And so, Harry, you know, and if you want to, Harry, that's the reason Harry is here, because he can't stand these rules. I can't either, but I've learned to ignore them. But he can't stand, like, the blinds are out of shape, or there's something was out of order, or an angle isn't right, or, well, I can't stand labels. And yet I have to look at them every morning. And so none of us chose to be here. If that's the reason I said last night about the reason that these incredible fasts, the Fast of Tammuz and the Fast of Ab, they're in the middle of the summer in Israel. It's the worst time that no water. The purpose of fast is to irritate you. My God, that's the ultimate irritation. I wonder what they did on the Fast of Ab in Israel now when they were when the rockets were coming. I'll bet you $100 that the Orthodox and the Hasidic Jews kept the fast.
I bet you the rabbis that knew what they were talking about said the rockets were a blessing.
Well, the whole point of this is the reason we're not come together so we can be nice to each other. That's just, that's the system out there. We're come together to be conformed into the image of Christ, to flee from idolatry. Including me. That's why I need the body. I mean, left alone, I'd return to every one of my little idols. Or I'll go find other people that have the same idolatry and we'll form a new church. Can you see why this... do you understand really you're either on the judgment seat or on the mercy seat? There's no in between. You hear any of this? Any response?
There's a clash between the world of faith and the world of reason.
A reasonableness.
Reasonableness.
But that's why it's come now. Let us reason together. Take the reason as high as it'll go. The reason, the end of reason is my sin is as scarlet. I mean, that's the only thing that I can empirically prove by this book, by the Bible. It's not a science book. It's not a history book. It's not an archaeological book. It's a spiritual book. And the only thing I can prove with this Bible is the fallenness of mankind. And it's so obvious, and that God is mocking us. You can prove that easy enough. But the rest has to come to when you come to the total end of self. All righty, take a big guy.
Can we get community service people to vacuum the seal?
That is one of my most projects to do.
Really?